Okay, I want to welcome everybody that's listening here online by phone or online, and those that will listen online later to this teaching. Thank you for joining us. It's my prayer always when we do these teachings, these gatherings, and that the following teaching will be a blessing that will edify the hearers, and mostly that it glorifies our Father in heaven. That's our goal to our entire life. And so, again, thank you for joining us. Today, we're going to cover and go over our series on the gospel path to eternal life. We've already covered in past series what it means to have faith in Christ and his finished work, what it means to have repentance, what being born from above is, striving as fruit in holiness and obedience as part of the gospel. And now on we go to endurance in the faith. Now, anybody listening that hasn't heard those past four teachings, you can go to don'tperish.com. Most of you all know about this already, but I'll just say it anyway. Go to the gospel, and they're linked there on the gospel page. All the teachings are there, or they're also on our fellowship teaching page. And I guess I want to say this, moving forward as I travel and I street preach, I'm really trying to turn my focus to more fellowship teachings as we gather with saints, and then to doing more verse-by-verse Bible studies. I really haven't done a lot of verse-by-verse Bible studies over the years, but I really want to phase into that. And I recently just posted Matthew 6. I'm working my way through Matthew. And so that is now up there to edify and bless the saints, and we're going to keep going on that. So before I start with the teaching, I always remind all you saints, make sure you have a pen, make sure you have a piece of paper or notebook. I encourage a notebook, a study notebook is a good thing to have. Write down the verses as I go through them, then go back, read them, read the verses around them, maybe read the whole chapter. Test me to the Word of God. Always test whatever Brother Jim teaches to the Word of God. I'm not the gospel. The Holy Word of God is our truth. And I want people to always test, and then because I move quickly sometimes so that the audios are not 2 or 3 hours long. And so I want you to have those scripture verses to go back to. Now, moving on to enduring in the faith as part of the gospel. It would be wise if I said right up front that we know, and I experience this almost every day, that mainstream so-called Christianity has altered the gospel truth. And they've really removed enduring in the faith. They removed much of the gospel. And Paul, the Apostle Paul, would call this an accursed gospel. If you go read Galatians 1, anyone who preaches a different gospel is preaching an accursed gospel. This removing endurance from the gospel, it's part of the easy believism. It stems from Calvinism, perseverance of the saints. It's the thought that you just believe, and that you're going to gain eternal life no matter what if you're one of God's chosen. And God's word does not teach that, all right? And if we go through God's word in its completeness, we're going to see that as we go through verses here. God's word does not teach an easy believism. It does not teach Calvinism. Man, in his sinful way, always is trying to widen the road to eternal life to include more people, all right? When Matthew 7 and Jesus said, few are going to find eternal life. Remember that, few. And I have articles on it at my teaching blog that would really open your eyes to few. But my contention is, man-made religion needs numbers, and there's pride and ego involved. Man lives in pride and rebellion against God, so they always try to change the gospel to increase their numbers. And of course, with the current religious system, with buildings, hired pastors, blacktop, widescreen TVs, they need money. They need bodies in the pews. So they got to widen this gospel road to make sure more people are sitting in the pews every week. And that's sinful. And to us true saints, we know how narrow the road is, and we don't care how many, or we don't care how few come with us and follow us. We're going to hold to the truth of God's word, to honor God, to honor Christ. He is the way and the truth. Now, the main area of contention, there's many, but the main area of contention about this endurance and really people corrupting the gospel is something called cherry picking. Cherry picking is where you open the Bible, you go to a chapter, you pull out one verse, you cherry pick it. It's like picking one cherry out of a pile. And you decide, I'm going to build my theology on what this verse says. I'm going to believe what I believe about salvation or life in Christ by this one verse. And it's a very flawed and faulty way to study God's word. Let me give you an example. Romans 10 is a great example of this. Romans 10 really just says, it says a lot, but it says, whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. I'll just shorten it up there. And so they love to say that, oh, if you just call on the name of the Lord, you'll be saved. But they totally cherry pick that verse out. They ignore the call to repentance and turning from the world and sin. They ignore the call to be born from above by God's Spirit as you enter a covenant with Him. They ignore obeying God in holiness and killing your flesh. And of course, we're going to talk about endurance. They ignore endurance. So that cherry picking is very, very dangerous. Never build your theology on one or two verses. We want to build it on the complete word of God. Apostle Paul in 2 Thess 2:15 tells us to keep the tradition he's handed down. That would be all the epistles. That would be what Jesus taught us in the Gospels. The wisdom we get from the Old Testament as well. The moral law from the Ten Commandments is still in play. So we don't change it to suit our flesh, to suit numbers of people in the pew, or to fit in better to the culture. So having said that, cherry picking must be avoided. We live by every word out of the mouth of God, as Jesus said in Matthew 4:4. So let's move on to a teaching on endurance in the faith, all right? Before we cover what the New Testament word says about enduring, I want to go back and I want to look at some examples in the Old Testament. And I just want to give you some examples. You can go look up these in Scripture. Adam and Eve, the very first humans created by God, they were told to not eat of this one tree. Every day, think of this, God said, you can eat of everything. Don't eat of that tree. Every day, they had to endure in obedience and faith in God and avoid eating from that tree. What happened? Eve was deceived. Adam also was at fault. They fell in disobedience and sin. The world falls in the great fall. All because they did not endure in what God had commanded to them. It's a mark. There's a sign of endurance there. How about Noah? Noah was a perfect, righteous man before God. God said, I'm going to judge and flood the earth. Build an ark. Took him many, many decades to do it. He had to endure and complete the ark. If he didn't, even though he had faith in God, he would have been washed away in the judgment. Noah had to endure in the building of the ark. How about Israel as the nation that God chose? They were the apple of his eye. They had to keep and walk in God's ordinances, statutes, and commandments. It was not this one-time belief, raise your hand, as we have taught today in so many false places. Leviticus 18, verse 4 says, ye shall do my judgments and keep mine ordinances to walk therein. I am the Lord your God. So this is an ongoing thing, keeping the ordinances, walking in them. That's endurance. We have to endure in what God has ordained. Another verse would be 1 Chronicles 28, verse 9. I like this verse from Solomon. He says, and thou, Solomon, my son, I should say, this was to Solomon, know thou the God of thy father and serve him with a perfect heart and with a willing mind. For the Lord searcheth all hearts and understandeth all imaginations of the thoughts. If thou seek him, he will be found of thee. But if thou forsake him, he will cast thee off forever. Once again, the warning, seek God, follow after his ways. If you cast that off, whether by faith or by sin, willful sin, God will cast you off. This is a covenant. We'll talk more about that. Not just a one-time way of faith. Now, in the Old Testament, it also reminds us about backsliders. They're warned of in Scripture. Jeremiah 3, 21 through 25. Jeremiah 3, 21 through 25. A voice was heard upon the high places, weeping and supplications of the children of Israel. or they have perverted their way. Yeah, that's like man-made religion today. They've forgotten the Lord their God. Return, ye backsliding children, and I will heal your backsliding. See, there's the call to forsake your sin and come back. Behold, come unto thee, for thou art the Lord our God. Truly in vain is salvation hoped for from the hills and from the multitudes of the mountains. Truly in the Lord our God is the salvation of Israel. For shame hath devoured the labor of our fathers from our youth, their flocks and their herds, their sons and their daughters. We lie down in our shame, and our confusion covereth us. For we have sinned against the Lord our God, we and our fathers, from our youth, even unto this day, and we have not obeyed the voice of the Lord our God. So again, obeying God's statutes, following him in faith, enduring and doing what God called you to, this is all critical in part of a saving faith to eternal life. To not do God's ways was to not endure in a saving faith. It's very clear in the Old Testament. And I also need to remind you that God, and we just talked about this, is a covenantal God. A covenant is an agreement between two parties, like a marriage. That's God-ordained marriage, so this is a perfect example of the covenant we have with God. People like to say today, well, I have a relationship with Jesus. We hear this all the time when we street preach, but that's really not biblical to say that. Jesus is not before us like he was with the disciples in the first century. He's manifest through the Holy Spirit, but he's not in front of us speaking directly to us. A covenant, an agreement of two parties, is really a more biblical theology to proclaim, and it's what we have today. It's what we walk in, and part of that covenant is to obey and endure in an ongoing fashion, just like they did in the Old Testament, as I just showed you. God always required this, to follow his ways, keep his commandments. When you fell into sin, he required you to repent and forsake that sin, get back in covenant. Then you had the hope of salvation and his forgiveness. So the other thing I need to remind you of as we're doing this teaching is another thing that confuses people. This is the same God, the Old Testament to the New Testament. He deals differently with man in the old and the new, yes, but he's still the same God. We still must endure. We still must obey for what's today, for today in the New Testament scriptures. And these verses, many verses in the Bible show us that. And as we go over these, you're going to see same God, but a new covenant. All right. He puts his heart, his spirit in us, and we get a new heart and a new mind. But again, it's clear if we fall into willful, unrepented sin, sin that we just continue to do, we know it's sin, we just do it, we won't stop it, or we fall into unbelief, we fall away from the gospel, we will be lost. This is very, very clear in scripture. So let's move on to some scriptures in the New Testament about falling away, turning away, losing faith. John 6, verse 66. And it says, from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. So Jesus had a lot of people following him. They were believing in him. A lot of them were following for miracles and food. Yeah. But they believed and they followed. And when he started doing some hard teachings, I believe it was to expose their hypocrisy. Yeah. Many people turned back. So again, going back to the covenantal mindset, we're in a covenant, a new covenant, Matthew 26. We know that men, women, people can change their mind, change their ways, and they can turn back. This happens in marriages. It happens in business agreements that are covenants. To deny this goes against the very foundation of scripture that's all over the pages of God's word. All right. This is why Paul tells us in Philippians, we're to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. People that believe in once saved, always saved, you don't have to worry. It's all done for you, sealed up. They never can explain this. Work out your salvation in fear and trembling. All right. But Paul knew that we can turn back. We can fall away. We can fall into sin. And he warned us. So let's go on to some words about Jesus, some verses about Jesus and enduring in the faith. Luke 22, verse 32. But I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. So we see here that a man's faith can clearly fail for whatever reason, trial, tribulation, sin, whatever. Jesus believed a man's faith could fail. Obviously, a man's faith can fail. How about one of my favorite verses? Luke 9:62. And Jesus said unto him, no man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. So there's a worthiness we're to walk in, the righteousness of God, the ways of God, the faith of God, the truth of God. We're walking in this. We're not earning our way to heaven. We can't do it without Christ's perfect righteousness. But because his spirit's in us, because we're children of God, we follow after his ways. And this verse teaches us that we're looking back a lot at sin, the world, the culture, our flesh. We're not fit for the kingdom of God. We're not going to make it. We're going to fall away. So Jesus gives us that reminder. Quickly switching back to the Old Testament. Remember Lot's wife. This is the same situation. Go, leave the city. Don't look back. What happened? She looked back. She must have loved the city. She must have already missed it. Maybe she mourned for the people. She looked back and turned into a pillar of salt. No salvation there. That's a great, great warning for all of us. How about more words of Jesus about enduring? John 15:8-10. John 15:8-10. He says this, herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. So there you go. Bearing a lot of fruit is part of being a disciple of Christ. It's following him. As the Father hath loved me, so I love you. Continue ye in my love. So here's the enduring, continuing. How do we do that? Verse 10. If you keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. So Jesus always obeyed the Father. He did things perfectly that we couldn't do perfectly, but he kept the commandments. He walked in the love and the ways of God, and we're called to do that, to strive to keep the commandments of God, to stay in the love of God. Very, very important. He reminds us that it's part of enduring our faith that will lead us to the forgiveness and eternal life to come. How about Matthew 6:15? Matthew 6:15. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. So as we walk through this life, we're going to get hurt by a lot of people, right? We're going to have a lot of people sin against us, lie against us. You know, people call the police on me all the time. They say things that are wrong on the internet and slander me. I got to be able to forgive those people. I got to be able to move on from that and walk on. If I don't, if I hold bitterness and anger and strife and hatred, Christ says, if I don't forgive, I'm not going to be forgiven. This is part of the endurance in the biblical faith, walking in the ways of God. He reminds us that that's part of following after him. This next verse, Matthew 10:22, Christ reminds us of persecution and who's going to be saved. Matthew 10:22. And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that endureth to the end shall be saved. Very, very interesting. I encourage people to look at the Greek and the Hebrew root words, always when we're studying. That word endureth in the Greek is hupomeno. It means, I like this, it means stay under, to undergo, to bear trials, to have fortitude, to persevere, to abide. Hey, Jesus said that in John 15, abide. Patience, suffering, to not tarry. And I like this, to remain, to not flee, to undergo mistrials, hold fast to one's faith. That's what it means to endure. If we sin willfully and fall back, if we lose the faith and fall back, we have not endured. We are not going to gain eternal life in Christ. Now, Jesus in Matthew 24:12-13, he uses the same word again. Matthew 24:12-13. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Yeah, we see that every day in the streets and at religious places. But he that shall endure to the end, the same shall be saved. I don't know how much clearer it could get from Christ himself. His children, his followers, his people will endure in persecution, overcome, obeying, keeping his ways, staying in his love, abiding in his word. We are to endure. How about moving on to Revelation 21, verse 7? Revelation 21, verse 7. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Overcometh. It's the same as endurance. It's pushing on. It's enduring hardship. It's enduring, defeating sin, overcoming your flesh. Overcoming. You shall inherit all things. What do we overcome in? Christ. We can't do it without him. We don't work our way there. That Revelation 12 says we overcame by the blood of the Lamb. So it's all on him. Nothing that we can say we're doing it. He's doing it through us. But part of our covenant is to obey and strive and endure and to overcome. How about Revelation 22, 18 through 19? These are dire words, if there are any dire words. Revelation 22, 18 through 19. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away the words from this book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things that are written in this book. What a stark warning. It doesn't say just unbelievers, mockers, scorners. If any man perverts, adds to, takes away from the word of God, that's what you're going to get. And that's echoed in the Old Testament and Deuteronomy as well about not changing the prophecies of God. Clear warnings of enduring the word of God, not changing it, not altering it, not perverting it. All right. And speaking of that, corruption, falling away, perverting. How about let's think of Judas, the man that walked with Jesus, sat with Jesus, broke bread with Jesus. He allowed Satan to come into him, deceive him, be used of Satan to go against the Lord, fall in great deceit. He did not endure in the faith unto the Lord. So that's another good example. How about Acts 5? I use this one all the time. A couple, man and wife, is killed by the Holy Spirit of God. Why? They didn't endure in the faith. They lied. Willful sin against the Holy Spirit, and Peter called condemnation on them, and they both died because of sin. So remember what I said? Willful sin can keep you from enduring, and falling away from the faith, which we're going to talk about more, can keep you from enduring. So Christ and the word of God in the New Testament, or his words, taught us to endure in the faith. Now let's move on to the men that Jesus trained. Handpicked men, Paul, Peter, John, handpicked men. What did they teach about enduring in the faith? Did they teach you just got it once and it's guaranteed and you can't lose it? Well, let's go to the famous gospel verse, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 1 and 2. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 1 and 2. Paul says this, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, gospel means good news, which I preached unto you, which also ye have received and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached to you, lest you believed in vain. Paul makes it clear. Keep the gospel in memory. If you move away from that, another verse coming up is going to back that up. You believed in vain. You didn't endure in the faith. You didn't endure in the covenant. It's a great warning to us all. Paul also warns in 1 Timothy 4, verse 1 and 2. 1 Timothy 4, 1 and 2. Talking about people falling away. Now the Spirit expressly speaketh, or I should say, the Spirit speaketh expressly, that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience sheared with a hot iron. Pretty clear. They're in the faith. They moved away from the faith. They fell away from the faith, whether it's sin, leaving faith, whatever you want to call it. Paul is clear. They left the faith. It can happen to people. They didn't endure and persevere. More from Apostle Paul. 1 Timothy 5, verses 12 and then verse 15. 1 Timothy 5, 12 and 15. Having damnation because they have cast off their first faith. Verse 15. For some are already turned aside to Satan. We see this all over scripture. People were with and then with the Lord and God's people. They left, they turned away, they fell away, they didn't remain, they didn't sustain, they didn't endure. It's all over God's word. How about more from Apostle Paul, hand-trained by Jesus Christ, by the way, picked by Jesus to be his emissary and his messenger. Romans 11, verse 22. Romans 11, verse 22. Behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God on them which fell severity, but toward thee goodness, if thou continue in his goodness. Otherwise, thou also shall be cut off. He was talking about the Israelites. They didn't believe. They didn't walk in God's ways, as we see in the Old Testament. Paul's warning also the Gentiles. You can be grafted in if you remain in God's goodness, in faith, walking in his ways. Now, this next verse, I think, is one of the best verses. Colossians 1, 21 through 23. I think this is one of the best verses that shows the perfect sacrifice of Christ's blood and the covenant we walk in. Listen to this. Colossians 1, 21 through 23. And you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, that would be sin, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death, that's his death, burial, and resurrection, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight, if ye continue in the faith grounded and settled and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which ye have heard, which was preached to you or preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. Did you catch that? The blood, the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ washes us. Yep, we need it. His perfect righteousness. Unblameable, unreprovable in his sight, if we continue settled in the faith and not be moved. Endurance in the faith. It can't be any clearer. And it points to the covenant that we are in, Matthew 26, the new blood covenant. If we follow, if we obey his fruit, if we remain and we endure. It's just like a marriage. You folks that are married, you can't get married and then just say, I'm married, and then not act out the covenant. The man's out cheating or not providing for his wife or abusing her. No one believes he's a good and godly husband. Same thing with a wife who goes out and cheats or won't obey her husband's wishes for the household or doesn't take care of the home and she's disrespectful. No one believes she's a godly wife. No, you're in a covenant. You then act out the covenant, marriage or faith in God. You endure in the covenant. We've known people that were married for 30 years. And guess what? One of them fell into sin and ran with someone else. They didn't endure and finish their covenant. They failed. Even though they had 30 years behind them, they still failed enduring in this covenant. Let's go back to Apostle Paul and Hebrews chapter 6, verses 4 through 6. Hebrews 6, 4 through 6. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened to have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them unto repentance, seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to open shame. Go back sometime, ponder on that scripture verse. It's clear as clear can be that we must endure. We must not turn back. We must not fall away from the gospel and the hope of our salvation. Same book, different chapter. Hebrews 3, verses 6 and 14. But Christ as our son over his own house, whose house we are, if we hold fast the confidence and rejoicing to the hope firm unto the end. There's that endurance warning. Verse 14. For we are made partakers of Christ. How do you want to be a partaker of Christ? You need Christ. You need his perfect righteousness, his shed blood. I do. How do we get that? If we hold fast the beginning of our confidence, steadfast to the end. Endurance. You must endure. If we turn back into sin, if we turn back in unbelief, we did not obey God. We did not show the fruit of enduring in his word. We did not stay in the love of God. We did not walk in the righteousness of God. What's going to be our fate? You got to ask yourself that. What's the fate of people that turn back in unbelief, sin, willful sin, What's the fate? Hebrews 10, 26 and 27. Hebrews 10, 26 and 27. For if we willfully sin, or excuse me, I always read these wrong. Sometimes I'm dyslexic. If we sin willfully, after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. That is another clear warning. Do not live in willful sin. That means sin you know is sin. You keep doing it. You don't try to repent and stop. You don't make changes in your life. You don't pluck it out. You willfully keep sinning, like man-made religion with their pagan holidays, their false gospels, their worldliness, their pride, their vanity. If you don't pluck it out, there's fearful indignation coming. You're not enduring in a holy, godly, obedient faith. I don't know how much more clear scripture can make it to us. I ask these men all the time in the street that believe in their easy believism. I show them these verses. They have no biblical answer. They walk away and go, oh, we agree to disagree. Well, that's not good enough. God's word is the final word, and they can't refute their false ways using scripture. And that's why I try to give you these tools, saints, so you can have these articles and audios to help refute these false teachers and not be led astray by them. How about moving on to Peter? A man very close and beloved by Jesus. 2 Peter 2, 20 through 22. 2 Peter 2, 20 through 22. For if, after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. For it had been better for them to not have known the way of righteousness. There's that word, righteousness. That means not sinning, folks. Then, after they have known it, to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. But it is happened to unto them according to the true proverb. The dog has returned to his vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her wallow in the mire. Hey, I can confess, I, Brother Jim, was once that worldly, carnal, lost pig, and I always return to my sin and my wallow. And I praise God that he gave me the grace and the mercy to repent and come to new life. And I know that I can leave and turn back and leave my faith. I can go back into sin. I can go back in the world. I can break my covenant with God as I can break my covenant with my wife. Do not be deceived, folks. God's word is very clear. Every commentary I've ever read on these verses I'm giving you, where they try to undo it, never approach the truth of God's word. They trip, they stumble, they corrupt God's word, they twist it. Don't be deceived by them. Keep walking in the ways of God's word. Let's move on to James, another man very close to Jesus. James 5, 19 through 20. Brethren, who's he talking to? Brethren, people that believe, people that are born of God. If any of you do error from the truth and one converteth him, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins. You know, if you die in your sin and you go to heaven, there's no warning of death, because death is always physical death and spiritual death. No, he's warning you. If you die in your sin, there's no hope. It's not covered by the blood of Christ, as Hebrews 10 told us. And so saving a brother or sister that's walking in sin is a great thing to do. Turn them from their sin. Paul says in 1 Timothy 5, rebuke them publicly so that others may see and fear, going back to the fear and trembling, right? Walk in fear and trembling, working out our salvation. How about John, another man closely walked with Jesus? John, or excuse me, 1 John 2:24. 1 John 2:24. Let that therefore abide in you, which ye have heard from the beginning. If that which ye have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, ye also shall continue in the Son and in the Father. Endurance. Remember, part of endurance, that word, the description was remain. We must remain in Christ, in his love, in his word. How about moving on to Jude? I love this little book of Jude. Jude 1. 20 through 24. But ye beloved, building up yourselves on our most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Keep yourselves in the love of God. Folks, if we didn't have to strive to keep ourselves in the Word and in the truth, why does he warn us to keep ourselves in the love of God? Ask yourself that. Looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And of some have compassion, making a difference, and of others saving with fear. There's the fear word. Pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by flesh. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and able to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. Endurance is all over that. We have to remain. We pull those that are not remaining. We endure. We keep ourselves in the love of God. It's clear the men that Jesus trained taught enduring in a godly, obedient, righteous faith. And this always comes up. I got to bring this up. It happened just the other day in the street. People will say to you, oh, so you can lose your salvation if you don't endure, or if you go into willful sin. And they'll say, can you be born again again? All right. That's what they ask. Can you be born again again? And they'll never stand and listen to my answer. Ready? Don't take my word for it. If you go read Luke 15, this is the story of the prodigal son. I'm not going to read the whole chapter here for time's sake, but go read the story of the prodigal son. He was with the father. This is heaven, father, and us, a son. He left. He went into sin. He ran with harlots, and he ended up in with the pigs in the gutter. What did he have to do to come back to the father? The Bible says he repented and came back and said he was willing to just be a servant to his father. And the Bible clearly says, go read this for yourself. The father says to the other son who was jealous, that your brother was gone. He was dead, but he's come back. He says he's alive again. Go read it. So you can be alive in Christ, born again. You can leave the faith. You can leave in sin. You can be dead and you can be revived again. The Bible is clear about that all over. Just because you're born again once does not mean no matter how you live, you're going to get this covenant of eternal life with God. No more than just because you got married on a Saturday on May 12th, 1963, that no matter how you live, you're going to be married continually. No, no. There's a covenant. There's a doing. There's an obedience that we must follow through in. So as I move to close on this teaching, another one of my favorite verses from Jesus himself, our Lord, our Master, our Savior, the Creator of the world, Luke 13, verses 23 and 24. And that he said unto him, Lord, are there few that be saved? So they're asking Jesus. And he said unto them, strive to enter into the strait gate, for many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. This is a question I always ask people, easy believe, Calvinists, just raise your hand, say a prayer, go to heaven. Why would Jesus tell us to strive to enter in and many will not be able to? If it's all done for us, if all we have to do is believe, if all we have to do is call on the name of the Lord, like Romans 10 cherry picked out says, no, this matches perfectly with the rest of the scriptures and all the men that Jesus taught, Paul, John, Peter, Jude, that we have to strive in our faith. We have to remain looking at Christ. We have to keep our eyes on the hope of the gospel. Obey God as fruit. Stay in his love. Stay in the word. He tells us to enter in because to strive to enter in because we can be lost. And I've given you lots of scriptures to prove that. The gospel to eternal life is something we must strive in. Christ has done it. Has done his work. He said it is finished. His work is finished, but we must enter into that covenant, that blood covenant, Matthew 26, with him, and we have much to do. We must strive as part of our reasonable service to him, remaining, enduring in the faith. We place our faith in the finished work of Christ, his death, burial, and resurrection, because we need his perfect righteousness. He grants us a new spirit. I'm preaching the gospel to you here now. He grants us a new spirit, and we're born again. The fruit that we're born again is not church attendance, easy believism, say a prayer and you're going to heaven. No, no, the fruit is holiness and obedience that line you up and match you to the word of God, glorifying him as a child, not living in your flesh, the ways of the culture, or man-made religion. And then what I've been teaching here, we must endure in that faith to the end. Whether we live 20 years or 105 years, we must endure in that faith, in that blood covenant, to follow after him. I like what Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 9:24. 1 Corinthians 9:24. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. Paul's using an analogy here that was well known in the culture. So people are striving for something. What are we striving for? The kingdom of God, right? We're striving for something that's incorruptible, but we must strive for it. We must endure in it. We must walk in it every day of our life. It's not something we take for granted. It's not something that we continue to willfully sin on and in and still expect it, because God's given us his spirit and his word to overcome sin and not live in it willfully. If we don't finish our race continuing to look on Christ, he's our salvation, there'll be no eternal life prize. There will be none. All right. I hope all of these verses have shown you, saints, and there's more, all right, that enduring is part of the gospel. I hope it's strengthened you and given you a defense against all the false teachers out there and their easy believism, their false man-made denominational ways. Just believe in Jesus, say a prayer, live like the world does, live like man-made religion does, live in your flesh, because we're all going to sin a lot. No Bible verse says we have to all sin a lot. I don't teach perfection, but I do teach you can walk after God in righteousness and remove most all sin from your life and strive against it, enduring in the faith. I know this. I know a few true saints. We who are born of God by his Spirit, walking in the truth of his word, we all clearly see that enduring in the faith is part of the gospel, to follow after our master, because did not Jesus endure for us? What if Jesus didn't endure and finish what he had to do? There would be no hope of the gospel. So I hope that's a great encouragement to all of you that are listening now, those of you that will listen later. I encourage you to go to my teaching blog, look under Once Saved, Always Saved. And there's many more articles with many more verses. I have an article called the If Verses. I gave you a few If Verses here. I have an article with the If Verses that will go and help strengthen you, show you that endurance is part of the gospel, give you more weapons in your arsenal, the sword of God's word, right? Hebrews 4:12, to refute all of those false teachers and encourage you. When you go through trials, when you're going through hardships, when you maybe have sin in your life you're struggling with in your flesh and you repent and you're trying over and over again, that your endurance builds your faith. And over time, it does get better as you walk with the Lord. I hope that's been a great encouragement to you. We're always here for you, saints. Let us know how we can help you in the faith. Email us anytime. I want to thank you for sharing your time with me today. I'm thankful for the time I get to come and teach. I hope you all hold fast in the faith. Till I get to come to you next time, know that we love you all. Let us know how we can help you in the faith. And as Brother Jim always says, till next time, if God lets me come, may God be praised.